The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
303-4141, 800-303-4141.
Live from the WAVA-FM Passport Auto Group Studios, it's the Don Crow Show on 105.1 FM, WAVA.
How you doing, folks? Hello there, and welcome to another edition of the Don Crow Show. Every day, Monday through Friday, 4 to 7 each afternoon, we get the chance to get together, talk about matters that matter, things going on you and I want to learn about. But the whole point is, let's get informed and then get involved. Find positive, life-affirming ways to make a difference. And today, I'm again very happy to have another longtime friend hosting the show, Tim Gegline, Vice President for External and Government Relations at Focus on the Family. Tim also served as Special Assistant to President George W. Bush and Deputy Director of the White House Office of Public Liaison back from 2001 to 2008. And his book, The Man in the Middle, An Inside Account of Faith and Politics in the George W. Bush Era, is, I gotta tell you, an excellent read. I highly recommend it. So stay with us this hour. I have no doubt you'll enjoy some very informative and thought-provoking conversation with Tim and his guests straight ahead.
And good afternoon, everybody. It is so great to be guest hosting for the great Don Crow, who is away today. It is a very rainy Thursday afternoon, which is the perfect atmosphere for some very good conversation and dialogue. And we have some wonderful guests this afternoon, and we want to start off with a bang. This is Henry Olson, who is a senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center here in Washington. And in 2017, Henry wrote a truly remarkable book called The Working Class Republican, Ronald Reagan and the Return of Blue-Collar Conservatism. I think it is fair to say, with a subtitle like that, we have arrived in the era of Donald Trump. Henry, welcome to the Don Crow Show. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on, Jim.
You were one of the very few, I mean, maybe less than a handful, to sort of see the shimmerings of what was happening in 2014, 2015, leading up to the election of Donald Trump, the man that Lee Edwards has called a blue-collar billionaire. I think that that's a very apt phrase. If I may say, it could be a Henry Olson phrase. What is happening on the scene today? How do we sort of explain the era that we are in? I mean, do you have to go back to Andrew Jackson or Theodore Roosevelt to see the sort of establishment rankled period where we have arrived? How do you think about it?
I think that what we're seeing, you know, American politics periodically goes through what political scientists call realigning elections, where new issues jumble up the existing voter coalitions. And I think that's exactly what we're going through now. And if you go back and take a look, generally the voter who decides which party's coalition comes out on top is the less educated working class voter. And that's the group that feels betrayed by both parties' establishments and saw Donald Trump as their white knight in 2016. And they are moving towards him. And that means more people who aren't too conservative but don't like the changes Trump are bringing are moving over to the Democrats. And we're in the middle of a partisan realignment the likes we haven't had for over 40 years.
And, of course, we are, you know, this side of just 100 days ahead for the midterm elections. There is a lot of eyes and ears, highly attenuated to where we're going on Election Day in November. You, of course, better than anybody, you think about these things, you follow trends, you talk to real Americans, you are spending a lot of time, Henry, far beyond the Beltway. Not just what do you hear and what do you see, But if the election, say, were held tomorrow, where do you think we would go in the House, the Senate, the governorships? Of course, it's election day in Tennessee, which is important. But for those of us who are really thinking about the midterm elections vis-a-vis the president and the fate and state of the Republican and the Democratic parties, tell me how you assess it.
Yeah, well, I mean, if the election were held today after a period of full campaigning, and I say that because there's a couple of Senate seats, you know, most of the Senate seats, the Democrat is better known than the Republican, so they naturally have polling leads. You know, over a campaign, Republican becomes better known, and those leads close. I think if nothing changed today, and every Republican had a chance to run a full campaign, that Republicans would marginally gain in the Senate by a seat or two, but they would lose control of the House narrowly. You know, maybe the Democrats would pick up 25 to 30. But there's a long time ahead of us, and it could very well change in either direction before we actually have the results.
And I don't want to lose the former point, not so much why gaining in the Senate, but, you know, with as much specificity as you can, why do you think that the Democrats, if the election were held today or tomorrow, with all the caveats that you've listed, why do you think the Democrats will, you know, regain control and be the majority party in the House?
There are 25 seats that Republicans hold right now that Hillary Clinton carried. Everything that I see says that the person who dominates in those seats, the moderate who liked Mitt Romney but loathes Donald Trump, is going to vote Democrat. Now, not all of them are going to vote Democratic, but enough of them are going to vote Democratic that I think the Democrats win the lion's share of those seats. And then you combine that with some other open seats where borderline marginal seats might tilt to the Democrats, even though Trump carried them narrowly. I'm thinking of seats like the Omaha seat that usually flips in the direction of a party with enthusiasm, and I think they'll get that 24 seats that they need to get the House. Now, to get firm control of the House, they have to be doing better than they're doing in the national polls, but the Republican Party is not winning back the moderate, independent, educated, affluent voter who abandoned them in 2016 and who continues to be staunchly upset at the president.
Does that mean that we will have Speaker Pelosi? Potentially?
Well, it'll be an interesting question because a number of these candidates may have won re-election or won election by saying they wouldn't vote for Speaker Pelosi. So exactly who comes in and what the margin is may determine whether we'd have Speaker Pelosi. But I think it would mean we would have a liberal as a speaker, that even if Pelosi were to step aside or be pushed aside, if the Democrats have a majority, they're going to elect somebody from the center left to the left of the caucus because that's who the representatives are.
And on that point, when we come back, we're going to talk about the mini civil war going on in the Democratic Party. And we're going to talk, too, about the implications of the election on the future of the Supreme Court and the federal court. So stay with us on this Thursday edition of the Don Crow Show.
Earnings vary based on your effort. Message and data rates may apply.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Washington, D.C.? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Washington, D.C. area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Washington, D.C. is a perfect market for my system, and this week, I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, text your five-digit zip code to 82,000. Seating is extremely limited, so text your five-digit zip code to 82,000 right now because this free ticket offer expires this Friday. Just text your zip code to 82,000.
The Don Crow Show is brought to you in part by Fellowship Home Loans. Call Mike and Brian at 1-800-804-SAVE. That's 1-800-804-SAVE or go to fellowshiphomeloans.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results may vary. See website for details.
But hey, I'm buying a huge flat screen TV so I can finally see it without my glasses.
Why not just get LASIK at the LASIK Vision Institute? That's what I'm doing.
My glasses and contacts are a pain. I'd love to finally get rid of these, but who can afford LASIK?
You can. Because the LASIK Vision Institute is offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. Just text WISH to 350-350. The LASIK Vision Institute has already performed over a million procedures. They use the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Better vision, better value. The LASIK Vision Institute. Make this the year you finally get LASIK. For a free consultation plus an extra 20% discount on LASIK packages, text WISH to 350-350. You'll see for free if LASIK is right for you. That's WISH to 350-350.
Hi folks, Don Crow here for Feeding the Nations. I want to thank so many of you who've been giving generously in our campaign to provide nearly 1,300 children in Zambia and Malawi, Africa, with two hot meals a day for an entire year with your one-time gifts of just $45 per child. And while because of your help we've been making outstanding progress toward that goal, we still do have a number of children who need our help right now. So would you do it? Would you pick up the phone right now and call 888-500-5262 with a generous gift? That's 888-500-5262, or you can give online at WAVA.com. $45 does provide for one child, $90 does it for two, $180 gives three children two hot meals a day for an entire year, and so forth. So would you pick that phone up right now and make that gift? Whatever amount it is going to make a difference when you call 888-500-5262. That's 888-500-5262, or just go online to WAVA.com. And thanks so much.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-517-3636 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code WAVA. That's 800-516-3636 or go to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code WAVA. 800-517-3636.
For Don, who is away today, we've been speaking with Henry Olson of the Ethics and Public Policy Center a little bit about the midterm elections. Now, Henry, as we were going into the break, you had made a case that if the election were to be held, say, in the next 48 hours, which it clearly is not, the midterm elections, that the Senate would remain in Republican hands, maybe with a seat or two pickup, but that the House would flip to the Democrats. Now, here's what I want to ask you. In light of the narrative that in your great work you have developed, that we're in an era of the working class Republican, we're in an era of blue-collar conservatism, we're in an era of populism, how does that square with the potential Democrat pickup of the House of Representatives?
Well, the opportunity for blue-collar conservatism is to add to the pre-Trump Republican coalition. What so far is taking place is a voter switch, not an addition, that you're getting new blue-collar people in, which is shifting the geographic base of the Republican Party away from the suburbs and towards smaller towns, while you're giving up more moderate independent voters who could be part of the coalition. So the task for the Republicans is how to reattract the moderates while keeping the blue-collar conservatives, because otherwise what you're talking about is missing the opportunity to craft a new majority and instead just changing the identities of who the minority party is.
Of course, the heart of populism is that the people, the American people, are at war, angry with the establishment, etc. Now we are, 17, 18 months into the Trump-Pence administration. Again, you watch these things very closely, Henry. Is the establishment turned upside down? Has there been a significant chipping away of the so-called establishment? Or is their resiliency so deep that while it might be a talking point, it's not really a significant change?
Well, so far, the establishment's coming out quite well. Thank you very much indeed. That one of the reasons Trump is winning back some old-line conventional Republicans is, frankly, that for much of 2017, he governed as an old-line conventional Republican. And then you've got the places where he is being more unusual, more in tune with his new blue-collar base, and that's talking about NATO, that's throwing doubt on our trade deals, and you find that the establishment is fighting against him tooth and nail on every single one of these points, which is, again, understandable, but it means that if the establishment were to prevail, we would simply have a Republican Party that looks a lot more like the Romney coalition, and we know how well that turned out.
Yes, we do, and don't. And what if we were to ricochet off that for a minute, Henry, and say, what about that element within the Republican Party, which is either verbally or nonverbally, effectively, never Trump? So there's Brett Kavanaugh, there's Neil Gorsuch, there is the tax cut, et cetera, et cetera. Around Washington and far beyond the Beltway, part of the buzz these days is what's not to like. Isn't this a remarkable presidency from policies to personnel? How do you, as a political scientist and as a pundit, how do you square that over against what's actually happened?
Well, yeah, I think one thing we found is that a lot of the never Trump intellectual class has very little cachet among the average Republican voter, which is, of course, disturbing to them. I think the other thing is that they have had an effect, but the effect was 2 years ago, which was that a number of people who are more moderate Romney backers did vote for Clinton, a few million of them. Data that I've seen from the voter study group show that these people tended to be much more liberal, more closer to Democrats on questions like the Muslim ban, on immigration, and free trade. So in one sense, they're kind of ideologically sorting themselves out. But there aren't very many people left that for the Never Trumpers to influence, that most of the Republicans who were suspicious of Trump but didn't go all the way to Clinton kind of like what they see for many of the reasons that you said, that they were afraid that Trump would be a big liberal. And they say, hey, we're getting a lot of wins here and we can put up with the losses because we're not outraged by the balance.
You are an editor at unheard.com, and you write a lot about populism and politics around the world. And in my view, it's must reading. It's just so well done. What is the trend right now? What are you intrigued about in politics? What are you intrigued about in public policy and in the trend lines as to where sort of we are at in the current scene? What is it that, as a pundit and political scientist, if I may say, what is it about the sort of trend lines, Henry, right now that sort of intrigue you, the thing that you are really watching going into the second half of this year?
Well, we're seeing this happen almost everywhere in the world, that you're seeing an alliance between the center-left and the center-right who don't want change. You're seeing a very vocal anti-capitalist left populist movement that's either gaining support in multi-party systems or gaining influence in bipartisan systems. And you're seeing a rapid rise of the parties that look like Donald Trump's core support, kind of the blue-collar, economically moderate, anti-immigration side. And the election I'm looking at is Sweden, where it's historically been a social democratic country. The Swedish Social Democrats have finished first in every election since 1928. But the anti-immigrant Trump-like party is running either first or second in the polls, depending on which poll you look at. And either way, Swedish politics is going to change forever precisely for the same reasons that American politics is changing.
I want to ask another question just a bit closer to home, if I may. I want to take a step back to what we were talking about just before the break. So there's Justice Gorsuch, just 50 years old. Here comes Brett Kavanaugh. You know, he's 53 years old. You have the largest number ever in American presidential history since the creation of the appellate or circuit judge system. These are the senior most influential judges in America. And more than any other president of either party, Donald Trump has now nominated and confirmed a total of 23 inside of only, 18 months in the West Wing. This is a dramatic remaking of our federal judiciary and might be, Henry, so far the largest domestic legacy of this young presidency. But on the other hand, do issues like judges and the Supreme Court, do they resonate out in real America, beyond the Beltway, beyond the Hudson River? And how do the issue, if I may say, of judges and the remaking of the federal courts, how do those actually, that issue base, how does it impact those voters that you are watching most closely, the ones who actually, effectuate how the Senate and House will trend in the elections?
First, Supreme Court and judicial appointments are extremely important to segments of the party's bases. They tend to be the segments of the party bases that are fighting what's called the culture wars. So people who want to see the courts legitimize social innovation, to use or change, try and use a more neutral term, hate what the president is doing. Those who would like to see judges who adhere to a less enthusiastic approach to that and consequently are less likely to upend decades or centuries of democratic practice in favor of an expansive view of rights tend to be wildly enthusiastic. But outside of that, it doesn't have much purchase, that most voters in the middle are not worked up about this. And that's particularly true of the Obama-Trump voter, the person who crossed over from the Democrats, who broke the blue wall in the Midwest. They are morally moderate. They don't like social war, culture warriors on either side, which in 2016 helped with Trump because Clinton and the Democrats are viewed as more culture warriors. So unless there's something that their senator, if they're in a state electing a Democrat, where a Democrat's on the ballot, does something unusual with respect or disrespectful, I think it's not something they'll take into account. They'll take into account the issues that they switched parties for, things like fighting back for new trade deals, making our allies pay more for their own defense, getting control of our borders, and basically standing up for the little guy.
The issues of free trade versus protectionism, the issue of more open borders or a generous so-called immigration policy versus more restrictionist policies, this has been forefront in this administration, the one powering so much of the people who strongly support the president. Are we going to see, as we get closer to the midterm elections, Henry, in your view, are we going to see a stronger emphasis then on those more populistic issues, the ones that have not been historically embraced by the Republican Party? Or are we going to see less emphasis in the quest to pick up those needed votes?
Well, I think that the president is signaling you'll see more rather than less, that the president is increasing pressure on China, not decreasing it. The president has tweeted and talked about being willing to have a government shutdown if he doesn't get a comprehensive immigration deal, which suggests to me that he thinks he's on the right side on those issues. Now, it's certainly true, I think, that he could maneuver Democrats in a way so that he's certainly on the right side for his core support, but that'll have differential effects. It's not going to be good for the Republicans running for reelection in multicultural, trade-dependent California in the House, goodbye Orange County, but it'll be great probably for the challengers to senators in North Dakota, like Heidi Heitkamp, or to people trying to take on Joe Donnelly in Indiana or Claire McCaskill in Missouri, because those voters are much more, there's much more of the sort of voters who aren't Republicans, but they like Trump Republicanism, and there are a lot fewer of the voters who really wish the party would just go back to being Romney Redux.
Henry Olson is a senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center, a think tank here in Washington. He's also an editor at unheard.com, where he writes about populism and politics around the world. Thank you so much, Henry, for joining us. It's been a fascinating half hour. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me on, Tim.
Be of good cheer, and we will be back after this.
This is today's entertainment answer. You love competition reality shows? I know my wife and I are excited about the new NBC show, Making It, which debuts this week and is hosted by Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman. The best makers from around the country take on a series of handmade projects they must complete in their own unique way. As the competition goes on, the challenges become increasingly difficult, and the least successful maker is eliminated each week. Making It on NBC. For this entertainment answer, I'm Matt Mungle.
Hey, Dave, you in for golf this weekend?
Oh, I can't. I promised I'd find a plumber to fix a sink and a painter to paint the...
Just use Angie's List.
Doesn't that cost money?
Not at all. It's free to find pros in your area who can do the work. You can even read ratings and reviews from other customers.
What about roofing pros?
Angie's List has pros for everything. And to save time, they'll even match you to the best pros for the job.
Oh, that's awesome. Looks like I'll be able to play after all.
Find the best pros for your next project at AngiesList.com.
Hi, Don Crow here. Need an electrician, plumber, or furnace expert? Call the experts at AActionHomeServices.com. 703-922-1900. That's 703-922-1900.
When I started teaching an ethics class in 1994, I spent the first third of the semester convincing students it was worth taking. Now the class size has quadrupled. Hi, this is Lon Solomon, and these are the words of GW University professor Timothy Fort. So what is going on in our world? Well, what's going on is that people are just being people. The Bible tells us it's because we're all born with a sin nature, which places us under the judgment and the condemnation of a holy God. Ah, but there's good news. The Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus shed on the cross provides a righteous covering for our sin nature that allows a holy God to let unholy people like us into heaven. Not a sermon, just a thought.
If you'd like more information about Not a Sermon, you can check out our website at notasermon.com. That's notasermon.com.
Tell a friend that you listen to life-changing talk radio, 105.1 FM WAVA.
Being in Israel is great, but being there with Dr. Tony Evans is even better. WAVA.com, keyword Israel. Come with us. WAVA.com, keyword Israel.
This report is brought to you by Positive Coaching Alliance. As you head southbound on GW Parkway, still a very heavy slow go of things between 123 and Spout Run Parkway with that one lane available for afternoon rush. Two lanes available northbound headed towards the overlooks, and Old Dominion Drive remains closed in McLean with a fallen tree and wires down in the roadway. Both sides shut down near Old Gate Court. Questions about youth or high school sports? Positive Coaching Alliance can help. PCA, a national nonprofit organization, develops better athletes and better people through youth and high school sports. Info at positivecoach.org. I'm Danielle Deverell with traffic on WAVA.
Flash flood watch in effect. Warm and humid tonight. A shower and heavy thunderstorm around early on. Watch for flooding. A spotty shower late tonight. Low 74. Variable clouds and humid tomorrow into tomorrow night with a couple of showers and a heavier thunderstorm. High tomorrow 83. Low tomorrow night 72. Saturday, a shower or two early. Then clouds giving way to some sun. Very warm and humid. High 89. With the AccuWeather forecast, I'm Bob Larson.
It is so great to be with you. Don is away today, and as always, it's a great honor to be the guest host. At the top of the hour, we heard a wonderful SRN news report, which included a story about the Bladensburg Cross case. We couldn't have planned it this way, didn't know it was going to be in the news today when we set up our next interview, but it's a perfect lead-in because Benjamin Bull is the executive director of advocacy at First Liberty Institute. He's a widely recognized top religious freedom attorney in the country as well as internationally. He is whip smart, and First Liberty is the one working arduously on the Bladensburg Cross case. First of all, Ben, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you so much, Tim. It's great to be with you.
Even though it's in the Washington metropolitan area, many of the listeners today, Ben, may not know what the Bladensburg Cross case is. But this is an extremely important case. And just briefly, share with us what this case is and where it is.
Well, the case right now is positioned before the Supreme Court on something called petition for certiorari, which is legal jargon for we're asking the court to review the case, review the decision of the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals based in Richmond. Now, the case involves a 40-foot cross erected right after the First World War to commemorate the deaths of 48 brave soldiers from the small community of Prince George's County. The remains of these brave soldiers were never returned. They were buried in France. And so their families had no gravestones, no head markers, no place to go and be with their loved ones. The American Legion and 10 Gold Star mothers, these are mothers of the fallen soldiers, came together and with private funding on private property erected this monument. The monument basically is a grave marker or a headstone for those brave and brave soldiers who gave their lives in 1917 and 1918. Now, what happened was, of course, their names are on the monument together with the American Legion. Over time, the government built a road right next to the monument and acquired this private property that the monument was on and became public property. And it stayed that way for 40, 50 years until the American Humanist Association decided that it was offended by this monument, offended by the fact that it existed, even though it was it bothered no one as far as the world could see, and demanded that the cross be torn down. They filed a lawsuit. They lost in the federal district court. They appealed to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, and as I mentioned a moment ago, the Fourth Circuit actually ruled and ordered that the cross be torn down. Ironically, during the course of the oral arguments, one of the judges said, well, why don't we just cut the arms off the cross monument,
wow,
the cross-shaped monument? And it was, sometimes these facts are stranger than fiction. In any event, the case is now positioned before our Supreme Court, and we're hoping that they will grant review and overturn the decision of the Fourth Circuit.
Does this case primarily, Ben, does this case turn on the fact that the government, owns the property now? Because if that's the case, at least to a lot of laymen, and I'm literally doing this program, in the shadow of Arlington Cemetery, a lot of us would say, gosh, the number one feature of Arlington Cemetery, the number one feature of most veteran cemeteries are twofold. They're either crosses or Stars of David. So a lot of us who are not lawyers and are laymen and don't think about these things every day, what we say is, yeah, that's a cross. That's a rightful marker for these heroes of World War I. There's Arlington, rightfully, the Stars of David, the crosses. Of course they should be there. Yes, it's government property, but, what's the case here? As an expert, tell us, and a lot of people are listening to this program right now, probably driving home or out doing their errands. They're driving past the Bladensburg Cross. Tell us what the very heart of this case is.
Well, what is at stake here, Tim, is the existence of crosses to commemorate the dead on public property. If this case goes the wrong way and the Fourth Circuit's decision becomes the law of the nation, every cross in Arlington Cemetery will be ripped down. The cross at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier will be torn down. My brother, yeah. for example, and millions of other veterans are buried on government property, veteran cemeteries. And my brother has a cross to commemorate his plot, and that would be torn down. That's what's at stake. We're talking about a wholesale change in the American culture of symbolism and commemorating our dead and the heroes who sacrificed everything for our country.
You know, it's really a remarkable thing, and I know that thousands of people are hearing about this for the first time, Ben, even as you speak. I remember being at the Normandy American Cemetery with my great father, my uncle, who is now gone to heaven, but was on Omaha Beach 10 days after D-Day.
Wow.
And you go there. You know, this is commemorated so beautifully in the opening scenes of Saving Private Ryan. And yet here in our own backyard in Washington, we have this monumental, remarkable cross. It's marking the dead of these incredible veterans from World War I. And yet, as I say, even in our own backyard, not by the choice of the veterans' families or by veterans in general, but by people who are professionally offended, it seems to all of us that the stakes could not be higher. Is that the case?
That is the case. And also what's at issue is whether or not someone who claims to be offended, a particular individual, who claims to be offended has standing to have all these monuments torn down. If that's the case, then if anybody who's offended by something can bring a federal lawsuit and have a monument or have a building or have speech, for that matter, erased or censored because they don't like it, we're going to have an awful lot of litigation and there will be very little left in the way of public commemoration of our dead or basically, you know, how we go about celebrating and commemorating our soldiers. It will be a sea change, Tim.
Well, First Liberty Institute, I know you're based in Dallas. What incredible work you're doing. I want to ask you in this regard, Ben. You are a recognized expert in constitutional law. You have a very impressive record as a trial and appellate attorney. You have successfully presented oral arguments before the Supreme Courts of Texas, Virginia, California, South Carolina, the U.S. Courts of Appeals for the 4th, 5th, 9th, 10th circuits. You've been around these cases. What is your weather vane sense as all of us follow this petition at the Supreme Court, knowing what you've said about how this was decided in Richmond? What is your sense about how we're going in this case?
Well, you know, statistically, Tim, as you may know, only one out of 100 cases are granted review at the Supreme Court. But this particular case has all the hallmarks of a case that they would want to review. There is something called the three-part Lemon test, which, you know, I don't want to get down in the weeds. But basically, it is the way the Supreme Court applies the so-called the Establishment Clause, which is in the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. It's basically the rudder against which we determine whether or not something violates the entanglement between church and state. And as I say, this case has all the hallmarks, all the signs of a case that they would want to review. Now, what's interesting is that we need four votes for review, and of course, Justice Kennedy is now off the court. We only have eight justices.
Right.
So there is a chance that if they want to review it, but they're not quite sure, they may hold it over until the later in the fall term, so that the ninth justice, presumably Justice Kavanaugh, then will be able to weigh in to determine whether or not they're going to review this case or not.
There is a wonderful part of the website, firstliberty.org, all about the Bladensburg Cross case. Ben, thank you for joining us. We will follow this case very closely. Ben Bull is the Executive Director of Advocacy at First Liberty Institute based in Dallas. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you for following this.
You bet. Be of good cheer. And we'll be back with more of the Don Crow Show in just a moment. Stay with us.
I'm Bruce Vail with Your Money Now. Stocks closed mixed for a second straight day as the Dow Jones Industrial Average wavered between gains and declines and closed slightly lower. The Dow fell 7 points to 25,326. The NASDAQ Composite gained 95 points, and the S&P 500 rose 13 points. Apple shares gained 3% to close at $207.58, and that gave the tech giant a market capitalization of just over $1 trillion. Apple is the first company to reach that market value, underscoring the company's explosive growth. Shares of home furnishings retailer Wayfair rose 7.5%. The company reported better-than-expected second-quarter revenue, helped by a successful Way Day shopping event, its biggest revenue day ever. Oil prices rose $1.30 to $68.96 a barrel. That's your money now.
Walgreens has good news for anyone managing diabetes. We've got your back. That's right. Walgreens pharmacists are here to consult with you in person and answer any questions you may have about new and existing medications. You can even get free advice from our trusted experts day and night at walgreens.com or the mobile app. Walgreens has all major brands of diabetes testing supplies like Accucheck and Walgreens True Metrics. That's not just good news, it's great news. Stop by and talk to your Walgreens pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Stocks are soaring, and construction spending across America has been on the rise. If you've been waiting to build, the time is now. Whether you want to expand your business or you want to build a new garage, call General Steel today. Our metal buildings are custom designed for your needs. For example, a 40 by 60 is a great space for an auto shop or a three-car garage. And if you call General Steel today, it's on sale now for under $25,000. Call 866-95-STEEL. 866-95-STEEL. That's 866-957-8335.
105.1 FM, WAVA.
Hi, friends. Tom Lewis for Feeding the Nations. We're nearing the end of our campaign, but still kids need to be fed over the next year through our ministry partners on the ground right there in Zambia and Malawi. How can you help? A one-time tax-deductible gift of only $45 for each one feeds him two hot meals a day for a full year. How many kids can you rescue? How many kids can you provide hope, the gospel, and food for right now? 888-500-5262, 888-500-5262. Again, with about 500 children remaining, we're going to need many of you who could rescue and provide hope and the gospel and food for 5 or 10, or maybe that one friend that could give for 100 children right now. Let me give you the number, Feeding the Nations. Here we go, guys. It's a tax-deductible gift. 888-500-5262 or the banner at WAVA.com.
We are back on the Thursday edition of the Don Crow Show. Tim Gagline, guest hosting today. I'm one of the vice presidents at Focus on the Family. We have had a wonderful conversation with Henry Olson of the Ethics and Public Policy Center on the lead up to the midterm elections, an equally excellent conversation with Ben Bull of First Liberty about where we're going on the Bladensburg Cross case, and now Gary Bauer, who is, of course, a one-time Republican presidential candidate, currently serving as president of American Values, and who puts out every day one of the most extraordinary end-of-day reports that if you're not on it, you should be. It is just extremely well done. And Gary, I was during the break just reading your report today that centers on Vice President Pence's quite extraordinary speech, which was mostly ignored by the media, and most importantly, the theme of the American remains coming back from the Korean conflict all these years later. First and foremost, welcome to the program. And secondly, why does the media continue to cover up these incredibly important speeches and stories?
Well, Tim, it's great to be with you today, and I'm sorry I haven't been able to hear some of the show as I've been running around, but as usual, it sounds like you're doing an excellent job and had some great guests. You know, Tim, it really struck me last night as we were watching on Fox, which covered it live, that ceremony welcoming home the remains of these heroes that fought in the Korean War. And I turned over to CNN and MSNBC, and it was nowhere to be seen. And the thought that I had is that, you know, it wouldn't have been that many years ago, even, you know, with the splits we had in the country. Every media outlet would have covered something like that event. That would be one of those unifying moments where we as Americans would just be reminded that we have great liberty, and we have great liberty because people have made extraordinary sacrifices. And it struck me as being very significant now that major news outlets like CNN and MSNBC just didn't feel like that was something their audience would enjoy or would want to see. And I think it's just another marker that this split in the country between the right and the left is not about minor things. It's not just about budget levels and tax rates. It's about fundamental things about the meaning of America, the purposes of our liberty. And I'm afraid, even though we would all like to see the split go away, I suspect it's going to intensify in the months and years ahead.
You are a veteran, of course, of Ronald Reagan's White House. You served in a very senior capacity to President Reagan and in the Department of Education in those days, two very important legacy spots within the Reagan administration. And I say that, Gary, because common, discussion today in coffee shops, diners here or anywhere in the country is, quote unquote, we've never been so polarized. It's never been so toxic that on the issues of patriotism, like we were just talking about, and these, heroes' remains coming back to our country after all of these decades. As you say, there would have been a time where, for all the other differences, there were, in fact, shared moral principles, common ground. Ben Bull was talking about how one of the groups in the country wants to simply chop off the arms of the Bladensburg Cross. I mean, this kind of astonishing reports. The first question is, have we ever really been this polarized in your experience? And secondly, how do we, even tentatively hope to close a sort of a culture gap like the one that you've outlined?
Well, we certainly were deeply divided in the 1960s and the counterculture and all the issues that went with that, sort of built around the Vietnam War, which America ended up being deeply divided on. But nonetheless, even with those divisions, in most of the country, there was still a consensus around concepts like patriotism, love of country, and so forth. I hesitate to say this, but I really think you have to almost go back to the 1850s to find a division over something so fundamental that it's hard to it was hard then, and it's understandable now why it wasn't likely we would find a solution without something terrible happening. And of course, that was over the question of whether one man in America could own another man, or whether black men and women were in fact covered by the promises of our Declaration of Independence and founding documents. And of course, that was a fundamental matter, and it was settled with 600,000 men dying north and south, and the country healing those wounds and going forward. God forbid that we would ever go down that road today of having differences that are so strong and so wide that there would be no alternative but physical violence. And yet, as you know, Tim, we're seeing that more and more. We saw it during the campaign when people going to Trump rallies were often attacked. We found out later that some of that was being intentionally organized, literally, by the Democratic National Committee, sending in folks to cause violence. We've seen Trump supporters wearing Make America Great Again hats being beaten up on the subway in New York and so forth. So we've got those kinds of instances. But the things that I find even more troubling is, how did standing respectfully during the national anthem, how did that become a controversial issue? How did it become a controversial issue that men should use the men's room and women should use the ladies' room? how did a cross in remembrance of war heroes or the dead, how did that become something right. that if you go online and look at that issue being discussed, the level of vitriol by the left about something that would have been just sort of routine again a few decades ago is really extraordinary. So I don't know where it's going, but I certainly know that the great bulk of the country still believes that America is a shining city on a hill and still believes the American experiment is an experiment that's brought more freedom and more opportunity to more people than any competitor in the history of mankind. And I think the cultural elites that have a quite different narrative about America being evil and built on genocide and all the rest of it, I think they're going to have their hands full trying to get the rest of the country to accept that this is not an exceptionally great place.
Yeah, and let me ask this, in light of what you've just said, let me ask this as it applies to the midterm elections. You are out in the country a lot. You talk with a lot of people of both political parties all around the country. What is your very quick sort of snapshot analysis of how the elections will go in the House and Senate? I know it's an unfair question in one sense, but if the proverbial election were being held tomorrow, and again, just sort of a snapshot, you know, thumbnail sketch, how do you think the House and Senate would go?
Oh, it's a tough question, Tim. You know, on the one hand, as a conservative, I'm worried because if you just look at the history of what happens after one party wins the White House, they usually lose one heck of a lot of House seats, that's for sure. And if there's one of the two bodies, the House or the Senate, that would seem to be most at risk for Republicans, it would look like that the House would be. And then on top of that, there's an unusual number of Republican congressmen that have retired. And of course, everybody has noticed the over-the-top energy level of the resistance to Donald Trump. And this is the first chance they'll have in November, you know, to change that. So the House is up in the air. I mean, 50-50. But my instincts tell me that in the Senate, I think not only will Republicans keep the Senate, but I think they might end up adding a couple of seats.
Gary Bauer, president of American Values, ouramericanvalues.org. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you, Tim.
Be of good cheer. We'll be back in a moment.
Earnings vary based on your effort. Message and data rates may apply.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Washington, D.C.? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Washington, D.C. area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Washington, D.C. is a perfect market for my system, and this week I'm holding a free 2-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get 2 free tickets to Than's workshop, text your 5-digit zip code to 82,000. Seating is extremely limited, so text your 5-digit zip code to 82,000 right now, because this free ticket offer expires this Friday. Just text your zip code to 82,000.
An exciting new book from Regnery looks at the power of love and intimacy from a godly perspective. It's called Love and Sex, a Christian Guide to Healthy Intimacy.
Sex is powerful. Just saying the word can stir up all kinds of emotions inside people. Maybe it's a positive emotion for you, or a hurtful, shameful, confusing one. It's no wonder we humans struggle to understand its meaning and purpose. Hi, I'm Nancy Houston, a sex therapist, leadership coach, and licensed professional counselor. After counseling hundreds of clients about the topic of intimacy, I decided to write Love and Sex, a Christian Guide to Healthy Intimacy. Love and Sex is filled with life-changing, compelling stories to help us all reconnect to love and is biblically based on the truths of God's Word.
Get your copy now of best-selling author Nancy Houston's compelling new book, Love and Sex, A Christian Guide to Healthy Intimacy. Available now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold.
Hi, Don Crow here. Need an electrician, plumber, or furnace expert? Call the experts at aactionhomeservices.com, 703-922-1900. That's 703-922-1900.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit aigdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-600-4850. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-600-4850. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-600-4850. 1-800-600-4850.
If you know someone that needs help, call the D.C. Department of Behavioral Health 24-7 Access Helpline. Their number is 888-WE-HELP, 888-793-4357.
Making Money Sense with Larry Rosenthal is heard Saturday mornings at 9 on Life Changing Talk Radio, WAVA.
Being in Israel is great, but being there with Dr. Tony Evans is even better. WAVA.com, keyword Israel. Come with us. WAVA.com, keyword.
You're listening to 105.1 FM, WAVA-FM in HD1, Arlington, and WSBZ, Washington. This is life-changing.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.